This is the Solitude and Single Track podcast, where we talk about our lives as off-grid RV nomads traveling with our dirt bikes, our progression in the sport, all things moto, and other off-grid related topics. I'm Zoe Anderson, your host on this podcast, and I live in a 14-foot travel trailer with my husband Taylor and my dog Mia. Currently, we are traveling the Pacific Northwest with our dirt bikes in search of solitude and, of course, some of the best single track in the country. Today, we're going to be talking about camp posts. When you go to a campground and there's a camp post, who would you normally picture? I'm going to guess it's probably an older, retired person, right? Someone with a nice newer trailer, maybe they're full-time, maybe they're just there for the season. At least that's what I picture when I think of a camp post. I am 27 years old, and my husband and I just finished 7 months of being volunteer camp hosts at an OHV campground. Now, disclaimer, I am not going to disclose the location or the agency for which I volunteered with, but if you do put two and two together or you met us while we were working, that's fine, just please try to keep it to yourself. Earlier this year, we had just moved back from Texas, we saved up a good chunk of change, and we were ready to hit the road, start living our dream of traveling the country and riding dirt bikes, starting on the West Coast. I'm scrolling mindlessly through Facebook, and I see this post requesting applicants for a volunteer camp host at a campground that we are very familiar with. A campground that had a rather distasteful reputation among the moto community. But I thought, well, shit, what do we have to lose? We don't have jobs right now, and this is going to eliminate us needing to move every 14 days on public land. We don't have to pay for propane, gas, or firewood for the wood stove. Pfft, I'm in. A few weeks after applying, we got the job. We did agree to being full-time hosts for the full season, beginning in April and ending early in November. This campground had never had a full-time camp host before, and they have been trying for years to get one, and we're the first people that actually agreed to do it. They had somebody who would do like really busy weekends, and they've had people that would try to do it for a couple weeks, and then they would back out, but we agreed to do it. We were committed to doing it, and we did it. The duties that were described to us were mainly just keeping the rowdiness down. Not by playing campground cop, but by educating on safety and campground etiquette. We were to be a point of contact for emergencies within the campground, doing some very light maintenance of the vault toilets and light campsite maintenance, like picking up trash and making sure things were ready for the next camper to come in. We weren't required to do a lot of maintenance because they did have regular crews that would come in a couple times a week and take care of all the gross work for us, and we were to just be the face of the campgrounds and be the eyes and ears and make sure everybody was being safe and it was going to be a good time for everybody involved. I'll reiterate that this particular gig was volunteer. We were not paid a cent. We were given a campsite, a generator, tools, and as much gas, propane, and firewood that we needed. Overall, being a camp host was rewarding and taxing all at the same time. Now, we had never been camp hosts before, not anywhere else, but we did talk to a few camp hosts who camp hosted at regular campgrounds, not ATV campgrounds, and there is a big difference between people who go to ATV campgrounds to camp and people who go to campgrounds to camp. And the biggest difference is that the people typically who go to ATV campgrounds, they don't want to be talked to. The other camp hosts we talked to, they said that they made contact with every camper that came in and everybody was super friendly. They're out there enjoying the nature and the woods. The people who go to ATV campgrounds, they're there to party. They're there to get there and ride their bikes and get nasty, get dirty, get drunk, and then go home. And a lot of the times, they did not want us to talk to them at all. Like, we'd approach them and say, hey, we're the camp hosts. If you need anything, let us know. And they'd be like, yep, got it. And we'd never hear from them again. It's just funny how different campgrounds have like completely different sets of people that come there. Since our duties mainly revolved around educating the public, we met so many different types of people and people with different camping styles. Some good, others not so good. We did need to call the police a few times, and it was usually non-emergency dispatch. I believe we did have to call 911 one time. Like I was saying earlier, one of our biggest duties was to educate the public on ATV safety. Even though all of that information is available online and you're supposed to take your ATV safety course in the state of Oregon and have your ATV safety card, a lot of people would take it or they wouldn't take it and they would still come out in the woods and act like fools. So, usually the education, whether they wanted it or not, went one of two ways. It was either well received and people were thankful or people acted apologetic but continued doing what they were doing anyways. Most of the time, an education moment looked like us approaching what we call a parking lot warrior, who was doing donuts in the staging area, flinging gravel at cars, or doing 40 miles per hour plus around the campgrounds. not okay. We'd walk up and say, hey, politely let them know this behavior is not acceptable. And then we would tell them, how about you go on this part, you know, we'd point to a spot on the map, go over here. This is a much better area for you to do this in. There's not going to be any people. It's going to be much safer for you and everybody around you. And a lot of the times they would go and they'd take our advice and they'd go off there. But sometimes they'd be, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. And then they just continue doing it. But other times, education looked like approaching a very worried single mother watching her 11-year-old on his first dirt bike and showing them the best place for him to practice and giving him some tips. A lot of the times when we'd come across kids who looked like they were struggling on their bikes, we'd pull them aside, we'd talk to their parents, say, hey, can I show your kid something real quick? I want to show him something that's going to help him. And so we'd give them some tips. A lot of the times it ended up being static balance because kids feel like superheroes if they can sit there and stand on their motorcycle while it's not moving and nothing's holding it up. Granted, a lot of the times we did use some wood blocks. We had a specific set of wood blocks we'd bring over to people's campsites and, you know, we'd stuff their front wheel in it and we'd make them static balance. And people really enjoyed that. And it just gave them another tool to put in their toolbox on practicing. And they really liked it. Speaking of children, a big issue in this campground historically had been unattended children, which had led to some accidents in the past. We were told that we really should be cracking down on the unattended children and informing parents that their kids really should be wearing helmets while they're on ATVs. Now, I don't have children. I'm not a parent. So take this with a grain of salt, I guess, but I just truly cannot understand why anybody would allow their child to ride recklessly and out of sight through a public campground with people you don't even know without proper gear on. The amount of times I would have to approach a child and ask, where are you camped at or where are your parents, was amazing. Most of the time when I approached the adults at the campsite, they were gathered around, usually on their phones, drinking some beer, not giving two cares in the world about what their kid was up to, and they could probably care less that I informed them that they need to have eyes on their young child and their child must be wearing a helmet at all times while on their quad. I could go on and on about all the real annoying people we ran into because, let's face it, there were tons. And when you mix ATVs and alcohol, you get some real belligerent mofos. In reality, most of the time, it was pretty chill. Most people were kind and courteous, but just like a Yelp review, the bad experiences are usually the ones that stick out the most, right? I actually started to feel like a broken record. And I started to feel a little bit like a Karen because all I was doing was telling people to stop doing donuts, stop speeding, turn your music down. And I felt kind of like a fun squisher. But at the same time, there's a time and a place for all of these things. And there are rules, and the rules are there for a reason. So that way everybody can have a safe and fun time because we're paying to camp here. We're not paying to listen to you bump your music at 1 a.m. We're not paying to get our truck sprayed with gravel by some 10-year-old on a quad with no helmet on. You did not spend your gas and time to come all the way out here to do wheelies in the parking lot for 3 hours. You're wasting your time by sitting here in the parking lot being an asshole when you could be out exploring the woods and riding the trails that your ATV permits pay for. You are paying towards the permits for the maintenance of these trails, and why are you not using them? Why are you coming to spend time in a parking lot? So that's all I was asking people, was to just take it somewhere else. I don't care if you do it, but just don't do it here. And we actually started to see a difference by the end of the season where those people that were constant problems either stopped coming altogether and they'd go somewhere else to stage, or they would come and they'd be more respectful. An example of that was this one family that would come every weekend to have a big barbecue. And I'm talking like 20 or 30 people, and half of them were children. And they would put the kids on the quads and they wouldn't have helmets on. They'd sit there and they'd do donuts all day long. They'd come about 11 o'clock in the morning. They'd stay till about 8, 9 o'clock at night. And the kids would sit there and do donuts over and over and over. And it was all day Sunday, usually. And every weekend I'd say, your kids can't be on the quads without helmets, and your kids can't be doing donuts in the parking lot. Put helmets on them, take them on the trails. And after a couple weekends, they finally got the hint. They got the hint that I was going to continue to harass them about putting helmets on their kids and not riding in the parking lot. So they started doing that. They started putting helmets on their kids and they started riding the trails. So it was really nice to see that actual difference being made toward the end, where we saw less of the problems that we saw in the beginning happening in the end. But again, despite some people being a little bit on the annoying side or even disrespectful side, we met so many amazing people. Now, if you want to get out there and you want to meet new people and meet the most incredible people that are outside of who you, outside of the realm of people that you would ever expect to meet, go be a camp host somewhere or go volunteer for like a state park or something. I mean, we met some amazing people. I mean, even in our first few weeks as hosts, we met a couple dudes who had actually met each other while traveling and then decided to caravan the Pacific Northwest together. They stayed their 14 days with us, and we hung out the whole time. We rode bikes, we went on hikes, we went on road trips, we had beers by the campfire almost every night. I mean, we clicked instantly, and we learned so much from them. It was really crazy. These guys are like two opposite men with very different ideas on life. There was Dave, who was very financially careful. He was always preaching to us youngins about investing, saving for the future, and saying, "Why? I don't understand, like, why you guys want to do this. Like, you're so young, you could be saving up and buying all these things." And honestly, Taylor and I, we don't have a savings, and maybe we should start saving up. But Dave was always preaching to us about how we need to do all this investing and do all this other stuff. And then there was the other guy whose name was Kane, and he was more like us. He made exactly the money he needed to make to live in his van full-time and not worry about his finances. He was an OG van lifer who had been in his home on wheels of sorts for longer than the term van life was even coined. But it was so funny because Kane is just this amazingly smart human being who just invented all of these things, and Dave was this equally smart man who, you know, was very careful with his money and had all of these plans and had all this experience, and just listening to them talk and getting all these ideas from them was so much more valuable than I can even express in a podcast. But Dave and Kane, if you're listening, you guys are awesome, and our time together was invaluable, and I'm sure our paths will cross again. We met countless other people who I just can't name all of them. There's just so many. We met a couple who were coming out four-wheeling. We actually stopped them because they had the same trailer as our previous trailer, which is the InTech Explorer, which is just a smaller version of our current trailer. And we talked to them, and it turns out the driver of the Jeep was actually paralyzed, and he was using hand controls to go four-wheeling, and it was amazing, and just the perseverance of some of these people. Another family we met, it was really sad. They had their stuff stolen, like their whole cargo trailer was cut off of their truck while they were out for a ride. They had some of their bikes in the truck still, and their stuff was stolen, and they came up to us and they asked for help, and so we called the police and we did all the things, and we ended up becoming really good friends with them. They never got their bikes back as far as I know, but they did get their trailer back, less the bikes. So it was really sad, but we became friends with them and we hung out, and then they had other bikes they brought out and we rode, and it was great. And we met so many people, and they were all just so very different. And we left feeling so full. And I'm not particularly religious, but I do believe that everything happens for some kind of reason. And I'm so grateful for every person's path that we crossed, and especially those who made a positive impact on us. On top of meeting new people, I'm going to bring up education, because education was the main part of our job. I mean, some of these people come out to the woods and either they just don't know or they just don't care about ATV safety. And if they didn't know and they genuinely just made a mistake, we'd say, hey, look, you know what? You don't have to go all the way down back into town to get your ATV permit. Why don't you just sign into our Starlink and do it online, take a screenshot on your phone, that way you have it. And people were so appreciative of that. And we tried to help people as much as we can, instead of just telling people, hey, you need to do this, 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 and this, and I'm not going to do anything else to further assist you. We would try to assist the people as much as we could, and that was beyond our duties of camp host, but we did it anyways. So besides the education on no pit riding, which was a lot of what we did, we regularly gave people tours of the popular area trails, because this is the closest riding area to a major town. And so many people would come out here for the first time and they had no idea what they were doing. They didn't even know they needed an ATV safety card or a permit. So that's why we were there. We were there to help those people and guide them and show them, this is how you recreate. This is the proper way to recreate in the state of Oregon. And it was great, because we met so many families who had just never been there. They're just getting into riding, and we helped them. And now, not only are we helping them with this particular area, but we're setting the bar for them. We're setting the bar for other areas. So they're going to go out somewhere else, and they're going to know, oh, hey, you know, if the rules are the same at this campground, maybe Maybe the rules in general are like this. Maybe I need to look up in Nevada. Do I need a safety card in Nevada? Do I need a permit in Nevada? Do I need a permit in California? Like, where, what permits cross over? Maybe these people are going to go out and they're going to look it up and they're going to want to get the information for themselves because we provided just the first little tiny bit of information for them. Sometimes people go into the woods and they just don't think about anything but themselves. And sometimes people just need a reminder of, hey, there are others around you and there are rules to be followed. And something about humans that I've noticed is it seems like, in general, people feel very confined, kind of like a zoo animal, in their day-to-day life that they lose all self-control once they enter the woods. And they just become some kind of wild animal. And what would normally not be acceptable in somebody else's home, like, sorry to be grotesque, but shitting on the floor in front of the toilet. You don't do that at your buddy's house. You don't go over to your buddy Joe's house and you just shit on the floor. No one does that. But why do you do it in the vault toilets, people? Come on. That's not cool. Somebody has to pick that up. It's just so silly. You don't go into your friend's house and you just, you know, light up a cigarette, you flick the butt on the ground, and you just throw your trash everywhere. No, you don't do that at your friend's house. So why do you gotta go do it in the woods? Just, people just become savages. And that was just one of the things that I want to say I learned. I mean, I already knew it, but I'd never seen it in the capacity that I did while being out in the woods for a full 7 months and seeing the amount of trash that people left and the amount of damage that people did to the environment just in a small amount of time. In one weekend, the amount of trash people would leave. It's just, it was more trash than I make in 2 weeks. Craziness. Savages. People are just savage. Anyways, I digress. Overall, camp hosting was rewarding and it was so fulfilling, and I felt like we learned a lot and gained a lot from it. We helped volunteer with some trail work on hiking trails and even some OHV trails. We were actually part of opening a brand new OHV trail, and that felt really good to me to be there on the day it was actually opened. But we left the season feeling whole. Not only did we feel like we made a positive impact on the community and those that we could offer assistance to, but we felt as though we were helping be part of the preservation of an area for riding. Every year, we lose more and more public land for recreation. And that's not just for OHV. Look around at what's happening all over the country. Utah, California are some of the big ones. And even here, I've seen places get shut down or just being made smaller. Make your voice heard. Get out and volunteer. You don't like how something's going? Volunteer your time. Put your sweat into it. Be part of the change, guys. Be part of the change. And that's what we tried to do as Camp Post, trying to be part of the change. Thank you for listening. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google, or Spotify, I would be just so grateful if you were to take a few moments of your time and leave me a review. The more positive reviews I get, the better reach my podcast will get. If you want to support my podcast in other ways, I'm going to have a link in my show notes to my website, andersonadventure.com, and also links to my Patreon and Ko-fi. Next week, I'm going to talk about some of the struggles that we have as full-time RVers traveling with dirt bikes, because there's some things you just don't think about. Like, something that most people do after a weekend of riding is they go home, they unload their stuff, they wash their bikes, and they take a shower, and they get all their stuff clean. We can't do that. We're out here all the time. I can't wash my bikes after every ride because honestly, I ride every damn day. What am I going to do? Wash my bikes every single day? I do have a pressure washer, but I'm not going to do that every day. And how can I wash my gear every day when I don't have a washing machine, especially in the winter? Anyways, these are questions that we get asked all the time. How do we keep ourselves clean? How do we keep our stuff clean? How do we keep our bikes clean? So next week, I'm going to talk about it. Tune in. Until next time, guys.